Y estoy muy feliz de estar aquí. Just kidding, this isn't Spanish service, but anyway. I just said my name is Mike and I'm really happy to be here.
Alright.
Anyway, guys, it's so awesome just to have our service here. This is where we met as a church when we first started the mission team. Is that awesome? And now we have a group meeting down in San Jose, and we have a group meeting in Berkeley, California a year later. Isn't that awesome? And really special too for Rashad is this is where Rashad came to his first church service, was in this room. Isn't that intense? So for him, it brings back a lot of memories too. Amen. But a few other announcements just to throw in real quick. We will be having a baptism today. Daisy has come to be baptized, which is going to be phenomenal. And so after the service, we're going to head out to the beach, and we're going to see the sisters baptize Daisy over at Ocean Beach. Amen? It'll be a little bit of a little drive, not too much, about 15 minutes from here. We'll go out there, and we'll see the baptism. Amen?
Amen.
Aside from that, the other note is for the campus retreat, it's a $30 fee for each person coming. So it's not free. You do have to pay $30, and you need to turn in that money today. So if you can't, let me know, and we need to figure it out, but that money has to get in. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Anyway, let's get our Bibles out and open up to Matthew 11.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike. Go ahead.
Also, there is a soccer game at 2 p.m. at the track. Where Julie, who's studying the Bible, is going to be playing. So we're going to go out there for the Essence State Ministry. And anybody else who wants to go and support Julie as she's playing. Okay. Matthew 11, verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Such a cool way that Jesus ends it. And one of the few times in passages where he even describes his own heart.
Wow.
And the encouraging thing for us is that God is calling us in, and through Jesus right here, to say, if you're weary and burdened, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. My yoke is light. Is that encouraging?
Yeah.
And when life gets burdensome and feels weary, Jesus is crying out, if that's you, come to me. And you'll find rest for your soul.
Amen.
Isn't that what we want? Rest for our souls?
Yeah.
Say, man, I just want to be at peace. I mean, life is coming at me at all different angles. I want peace. Jesus says, come to me and you'll find it. And so, and it's awesome. He says, I'm gentle. All right? So don't come, you don't have to run away and fear that I'm going to hurt you. I'm gentle. And I'm humble at heart. I'm on your level. And when you come to me, you'll find rest for your soul.
Amen.
So for us, what is the rest that Jesus offers? I think here in our New Age philosophical kind of thoughts that pervade our society, we think rest with Jesus means just an emotional connection to Jesus. But here he says, you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul will be healed. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look into the scriptures and see what plagues our soul and what Jesus wants to heal our soul from. Amen? And what he has to teach us in order to find that rest, in order to find that comfort. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to Hebrews 10, and we're going to find out one of the core issues and why Jesus even came to die on this earth.
Come on, Mike.
You know, if I ask you, why did Jesus come to die on this earth? You'd say, well, to take our sins away. He died for our sins. Well, in Hebrews 10, It says that's not all.
Wow.
There is more to it than just dying for your sins. Verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of them are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So guys, we are living out that scripture right now as we haven't given up meeting together. Right? And here we are fulfilling that part of the scripture. But what about the first parts?
Wow.
Now there's some deep illustrations that are being conveyed right here. Number one, it talks about the most holy place. And if you know any background on Jewish culture, this refers to the temple of God. And the most holy place was the center of the temple where God's Spirit resided when the temple was built for the Israelite people back in 1000 BC. Isn't this intense?
Yeah.
The most holy place, one person was picked once a year to enter it after all these animal sacrifices were made to purify him so he could go inside the most holy place and be with the Ark of God in the presence of God.
Wow.
Isn't it intense?
Yeah.
The most holy place in a Jewish mindset was a place that very few people ever got to see.
Wow.
And when you did, you were in the presence of God Almighty.
Wow.
And so here he says, in Hebrews, the writer says, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place.
Wow, that's cool.
By the blood of Jesus. So here, Jesus' blood, his death on the cross, gives us confidence in our relationship with God. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
To say, I have confidence to be with God.
Come on, bro.
Because I think a lot of times when you really know who God is, and amen, you really know who you are, you don't think that the confidence is going to be there to be with God. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like when you just take a look at the life of sin that you've lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And realize, man, I'm not even worthy to be close to God. God probably hates me.
Mm.
But here it says, no, you got to have confidence. God is fired up because of the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And it says it's by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. That is his body. So here's another reference. The curtain. Now, if you study out the passion of the Christ and Jesus dying on the cross, there is something significant that can be missed by Western readers. The curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. And if you read through the end accounts of each gospel, they refer to the curtain being torn. Now, the curtain was what separated the most holy place from the outside world. And the curtain was about 4 inches thick. That's a phone book right there.
Oh my God.
And when Jesus died, there was an earthquake, and it said the curtain was torn from top to bottom. The curtain was torn. What did that mean? That there's no more curtain separating the most holy place from those who are sanctified in Jesus and now can enter the most holy place. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So here, Jesus' death on the cross gives us confidence, but also it tore the curtain apart and allows us to enter as well. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And then finally, and it says we have a great priest over the house of God. Now that's referring to Jesus because we're allowed to enter through this great priest.
Right.
And so it says, so in view of all these things, look at verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart.
Wow,
come on. Isn't that awesome? That for us, it's a sincere relationship with God that we're called to have. In full assurance of faith, so a confidence knowing God has made the sacrifice.
Yep.
Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting one. The Bible says, Jesus, his blood, and this is what they did with animal sacrifices, you'd sprinkle the blood on the people in the presence of the temple. So Aaron, when he was finally consecrated as the first priest, he was sprinkled with bull's blood all over his body.
Wow.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah,
and he was
man.
Splattered with blood, but that sanctified and cleansed him so he was holy to go in. So what did it do? It cleansed him. Here it says, our hearts have been sprinkled.
Wow.
Isn't that intense?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Aaron sprinkled, it says God has sprinkled our hearts.
Wow.
And what does he want to cleanse us from?
Sin.
Nope.
Guilt.
From a guilty conscience.
Yeah.
We can say, oh, sin. No, no. That's one of them. But there's something more deeper. There's something more personal. There's something more intimate. Jesus' blood is sprinkled on our hearts to cleanse us from guilt.
Come on, bro.
And here, this is almost seemingly a contradiction between our day and when the scripture was written. Because today, don't you think that to be religious means you need to be guilty all the time?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point of going to church, to feel bad and guilty for your sin?
Right.
And you need to just hate yourself because of how disgusting it is. Now, there is a godly sorrow you got to have. But Jesus' blood, we have to understand, is meant to cleanse us from a guilty conscience.
Wow, come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So that means, first we're going to look at, you know, you don't just say, well, I murdered somebody, but I don't feel guilty because Jesus cleansed me from that. You got to look at, well, what's the steps before that? We're going to look into that.
All right.
But the biggest, one of the biggest things we can miss as disciples is that Jesus' blood is meant to cleanse us of guilt.
Wow, come on.
To clear our hearts, to get rid of this garbage that's corrupting our hearts, that's in the form of guilt. Jesus took the guilt on himself so that we could be cleansed from a guilty conscience. And that's how you approach God. Free of guilt. Imagine having a time where you go out and you pray and there's no guilt on your heart. Full assurance of faith. Sincere heart with God. Just like Jesus. That's why Jesus died.
Wow.
So that you could have that kind of relationship with God. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Jesus died for your relationship with God to be perfect. Not just for your sins to be forgiven, but for you to be close to him. Look at Revelation 12.
Come on, Mike.
So why is it so important to know about? Well, because this is a battle that we all face. Verse 7, chapter 12. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. So when there's an angelic battle, guess what demonic forces do? They fight back. Amen? So this is for those disciples who've been fighting on campus and wondering where this backlash is coming from. Well, it says right here, Satan is going to fight you back when you make a decision. Is that intense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. But he was not strong enough. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't that fire you up?
Yeah.
And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray.
Wow, come on.
He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.
Dang.
So let's stop right there. Here, the battle happened. Satan loses. And then it says, now has come salvation. Because Satan aka accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by Jesus' blood.
Amen.
So here, I hope this gives you a little bit of insight into what Satan's schemes really are.
Yeah.
How does he attack? What does he do day and night to get us off track?
Wow.
It says, who accuses them before our God day and night. Is that intense?
Yeah.
Here, the battle many times is not just outside of us. It's a battle in our hearts.
Wow.
That struggles with accusations from Satan. And Satan is accusing what? Well, he's saying that you don't have what it takes. You're not good enough.
Wow.
You don't have the ability to do this.
Wow.
Look at you. Look at your mistakes. How could you think that you could continue to live as a disciple?
Dang.
Wow.
He accuses us by saying, you know, God, how could God love you? I mean, what have you done for God? And so the accusations build up. And so part of being a disciple is that we have to have our consciences cleansed by Jesus' blood. Amen?
Amen?
And really, communion is about you finally, in the end, having a clean conscience.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
Now there's God's will that gets us there. Let's look at James 5:16.
Go there, bro.
Come on, Mike.
Come on,
Mike.
Who's out?
The last thing we want to do is just cover up and stuff our emotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And say, oh, God tells me not to have a guilty conscience, so I'm just going to ignore all the sin I've ever committed, even the sin I did yesterday, and just act like it never happened and not deal with who I am.
Right.
Now, that's not what the Bible's saying, amen?
Amen.
We got to be clear. It doesn't mean, hey, no guilty conscience, just ignore all the sin in your life. Jesus died, you can sin all you want and not feel bad about it.
Right.
Okay, that's not the message of the gospel.
Right.
So let's look at what we do with sin first. Verse 16, chapter 5. It says, therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Wow.
See, sin here has an effect on our hearts. If confessing our sin heals us from sin, then what is sin's effect on us spiritually? It makes us sick.
Wow.
It makes us sick.
Talk about it, bro.
Sin, when you know Romans, it says the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
So what kind of sickness does it give us? Is it flu that's going to just go away if you just sleep it off?
Incurable.
No, we're talking terminal illness.
Wow.
Sin is a terminal illness that will send you to hell. And you got to be healed. Imagine you had cancer, stage 4 cancer. You're about to die. And somebody says, hey, listen. Let's just talk about it. Let's go through what's going on, and you'll be cured. What did you talk about it?
Yeah.
With sin, it's the same thing. Sin is worse than cancer. Because sin determines your eternal destination.
Wow.
Everybody dies. Whether it's cancer or not, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sin determines whether you go to heaven or hell.
Wow.
Right.
And so, the scriptures say, confess your sins, pray for each other so that you may be healed. Isn't that intense?
Yes.
See, here we have something worse than cancer in our life. And the Bible says, you want to be healed from this terminal illness, start talking.
Wow, come on.
Start getting open
with
people who are righteous. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get open about with all the wicked people about your sin.
Because
they're going to applaud you. It says right here, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That means you're confessing to a righteous person.
Yeah. Wow.
And so this cures you of that terminal illness spiritually. confession. If not, you are sick.
Wow.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
You have a terminal illness that's corroding your spiritual body.
Keep it real, bro.
It's eating away at your spiritual flesh. And it's just destroying your spiritual creation that God has given you, your soul.
Amen.
And it's hardening it, callousing it, and destroying it. Because the sin, the cancer, is in your heart. But when you talk about it, it's like chemotherapy from the Lord, amen?
Yes.
That always works. And you have to talk about your sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know, that was the one thing that kept me from wanting to be a disciple. Confession of my sin. And it was the thing that took me out, because I hated confessing my sin afterwards. And for me to learn how to really make it, I had to realize I need to confess all my sin all the time.
Wow.
And over 17 years of trying to walk and follow God, one thing I've learned, openness. If I'm going to make it to heaven, I got to be open. And the minute I stop being open is when my heart gets hardened and distant and far from God, and I don't make it.
Yeah.
So, in order to receive that comfort from Jesus, in order for your heart to be cleansed, and for you to overcome Satan, it starts with confession of your sin. Will you get open about your life? This is what most people will run from. The second thing that we're about to talk about is if they're willing to confess, then you got to do the next one. Let's go to Acts.
Come on,
Mike.
Do it.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
So Acts chapter 3. It says, verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out.
Amen.
That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So once you confess your sin, have the times of refreshing come yet?
No.
No, no. Now it's time to repent of your sin. So repentance literally means you do a 180. So you're going one way, the sinful way, then you stop, and you do the opposite.
Wow.
So most people say, well, if I stop sinning, aren't I a good person? Nope, you got to do the opposite of your sin. So if you're lying, it doesn't mean stop lying.
Yeah.
It means start being honest with people.
Yeah. Awesome. Come on.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
If you're stealing, it doesn't mean just stop stealing. It means now you need to start giving to other people.
All right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're impure and selfish, it means now you need to be pure and focused on God and giving to other people as well.
Because
really, impurity and selfishness go hand in hand. Impurity. And if you have hidden sin, you need to confess it. But that's what repentance. And when you repent, then you're turning to God. Amen?
Come on.
Here, repentance is the act of turning to God. To know your wrong ways and to say, I'm going to do the opposite. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have to repent. Repentance is hard.
Yes, it is.
For me, my core sins are stealing, so greed, and lying, along with impurity. And when I was a kid, before I got baptized, guess what I was doing? I was lying, I was stealing, and I was impure. I fell away when I was 24. Guess what came back even worse in my life?
Wow.
Lying, stealing, and now impurity turned into immorality. And so now coming back after 3 years, from 24 I was gone, 27 I came back to the church. When I came back and I confessed my sin, I was confessing I stole $10,000 from my job.
Ooh, wow.
That's a lot different than stealing some batteries from Target like I did when I was 13. Then I had to confess I was unfaithful to my girlfriend and cheated on her. That's how far the lying got, along with immorality. And so, for repentance means now I need to do the opposite. So I've been deceitfully taking money from my job. Now guess what I need to do? Honestly, go back and tell them what happened.
Wow.
And I'll never forget making the decision to repent. And I hated it. And I even found scriptures in John, or in Luke actually, that say when people ask John the Baptist how to repent, he says, hey, if you've been taking money from people, just take it no longer. And I said, look,
oh my gosh,
that's all I got to do.
Yeah.
That's repentance according to John the Baptist. And the brother in my life said, no, you need to go back and tell them what happens.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And so he's like, if you don't agree, just call some other people. So I called everybody in the church. I was like, this is crazy. I'm like, well, that's what you got to do. So finally I said, okay, I'm going to do it. What's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is I get thrown in jail for 10 years. You know what I mean? But for my salvation, that's worth it.
Mm.
And so here I am at my old job, and I walk in, and I see my manager who fired me. And he didn't know why. He fired me for something very small, but he knew somebody was taking money from the restaurant. So as soon as he saw me give away one free drink, I was out. He was gone, because he was cleaning out house. And I was a bartender, just so you know. That's how out there I got. I go to him and I say, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I'm being open about my life. And I need to be honest with who I was when I worked for you. I stole over the course of about 6 months at least $10,000. At least. Like, that's like a conservative amount. There's probably more than that. And in my heart, I was willing to get prosecuted, confess before a judge, go to jail, pay back, whatever he wanted me to do, I was willing to do it. And his response was, I believe, from God. He said, hey, you know, I'm really glad you talked about it. Don't worry about it. And if you ever want to come back here for a dinner or something, it's on me.
Wow.
I was like, that's
God.
Insane.
That's insane.
Oh my God.
So it just shows you that a lot of times God has an awesome plan for our repentance.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do it, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
And that's just one of the stories. I mean, there are also relationships I had to cut off. There was a lot of driving I had to do. There was financial planning I had to make. But that was repentance. But guess how I felt afterwards?
Right.
Just like the scripture says, refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you need to confess. Second, you need to repent.
Come on.
Don't live your life a sin. Confess. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on.
And now, let's look at Acts 2:38, where it talks about confession and repentance. It says, then there's something else you got to do.
Come on,
girls,
what's out.
Come on, Mike.
Verse 38. Chapter 2. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here, Peter is speaking to people who have been cut to the heart, who are ready to do whatever it takes. And he says, here's what you got to do. Repent of your sin. So they start confessing. They start repenting. And then what they need to do? Get baptized. Why? For the forgiveness of their sin.
Come on.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
So you don't get baptized and then repent. You got to repent first.
Yeah.
Live as a disciple. And then you're ready to be baptized and have your sins forgiven.
Yeah.
And some of you guys have come out and you're studying the Bible, and people are really trying to help you to repent and show you where you're at, because they want you to have the time to refreshing and to have your sins forgiven in baptism.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool that you have people in your life right now that are fighting for you to be right with God?
Come on.
I mean, that's a gift from the Lord Almighty right there. So, man, these people are here to help me, to see me be in the light as well. And they're fighting. They've already confessed their sins. They've already, and are still, repenting of their sins, if they still are seeing things they need to repent in, which everybody is. And then, now they're going after helping other people, like you, to be able to do it too.
Come on.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, is repentance easy? No. Are you going to like the things they have to say?
No.
Nope. Every now and then maybe, but a lot of times you're not going to like it at all. It's going to hurt. And being open is tough. When you're getting real about the things you've never told anybody in your life.
That's deep, bro.
It's hard. But nobody is sitting here getting angry that you're confessing these things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nobody's ticked off that you're finally being real here. Like, oh, I thought you were somebody else. They know who you really are. They know you have hidden sin in your life if you haven't repented and confessed it yet.
Right.
Everybody does. And so they're just fired up when you get the courage to start talking about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you don't need to worry. Just be fired up and say, hey, this stinks, but here's what happens. And then start getting the healing that you need for your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at what baptism is in Acts, in Romans chapter 6.
Help us out, bro. Teach me.
Come on, Mike.
Mike. 1-4, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means! Amen? So there it is.
Amen.
We died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? So the answer is, don't keep sinning.
Come on.
Or, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So that's intense, right? Baptism, according to the scriptures, means you're being buried with Jesus, you're getting baptized into his death. That wasn't a very glorious, comforting time in Jesus' life. And so when you're repenting, it's not a very comforting time. It hurts. But you're crucifying your old life. So why would you do this? Well, what happened to Jesus afterwards? Let's keep going. Verse 4, we're therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So here, it says, when you die with Jesus, get this, you're raised to a new life with Jesus as well.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
When you crucify your sin, you're brand new.
Right.
That's awesome.
A new life. Through what power? Through the same power that brought Jesus back to life.
Wow.
That is available for all who want to repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
Is that awesome?
Right.
And so, if you just say, amen, sign me up, then God says, I'm all with you. Let's do this. And then you get to experience what God has planned for so long.
Wow.
To crucify that old life. To confess the sin. Repent of the sin. Die to the sin. And then be raised to a brand new person in your heart before God. Now you're still going to have the same name, same social security number. But in your heart, your purpose changes.
Yes.
Your perspective changes.
Right.
You don't live for the same shallow things you lived for before. Maybe you don't realize they're shallow yet. You'll get there.
Well, amen.
For me, money and working as a bartender, now that I look at it, pretty shallow life. But now God has created a new life. And so, for you, that's available as well. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I hope that encourages you. And so, in the end, I think for us seeing, what is Jesus' blood here for? It's for us to walk with God. Through confessing our sin, repenting of our sin, and being baptized. Now, you may be the guy that says, well, I did that already, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that means you're probably in your 50s right now. Or late 40s. Just joking.
Yeah.
You say, well, what about me? What about the guy or the girl that it happened to years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? What about me? Where does my heart need to be?
Come on.
And so, let's look at Revelation chapter 2 real quick.
Woo! Come on, buddy.
Help us out, Mike.
Here's the hard one, and for me it was 17 years ago, so I'm saying this out of my own personal conviction.
Come on.
Here is the danger of an older disciple. We're going to look at the church in Ephesus. They've been around for about 30 years. And so now Jesus is admonishing this older in the faith church for where their heart went. And it means if their heart went there, then our heart has that same danger as well.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
That Jesus knows those things about your life. If you've been going for years and years and years, there's been endurance, there's been perseverance, and there's been hardships that you've overcome to be able to get to where you're at right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
You've been around for a little while here?
Come on.
And so, with that though, Jesus doesn't end there. He keeps talking. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love.
Wow.
Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So we'll stop right there. So this is intense because to this church, with these older disciples, their danger was they had lost their first love.
Yeah.
That's our danger as well.
Yeah, right.
That we get into the routine that we've been doing for so many years, and we lose the joy that we had when we first became disciples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why when you see Daisy get baptized, it needs to remind you, if you're an older disciple, of what it was like for you.
Yeah.
And you need to go and say, I am going to do those things that I was doing at first. If you've lost the fundamentals, the Bible calls that disciple to repent. Isn't that intense?
Right. Yeah.
It's not just for the person studying the Bible. It's also for the person who's been doing it for a long time.
Right.
To repent as well. But repent and do what? What you did when you first became a disciple. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to be in touch with those things and do what you did at first. Or you run the risk of losing your first love.
Yeah.
So in the end, all of these things happen because God wants to cleanse us. He wants our hearts to be right before Him. He wants us to be totally purified. And so Jesus died on the cross, not just for your sins, but for you to have the chance to have a clean conscience. Now, it doesn't just happen by just saying, hey, I love Jesus and I feel emotionally connected to Him.
Right.
It takes confession. It takes repentance. It takes being baptized after you do those things, not before. And finally, if you've been doing it for a while, you have to continue staying focused on what you did at first and never lose it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so the awesome thing is that in all these things, God gives us a new purpose in our lives. Isn't that awesome, guys?
Yeah.
That now God has filled our hearts with His purpose and we really live for Him. And not for our own purposes and our own thoughts.
Amen.
Amen, guys?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So with that, let's have a prayer for the communion. We're going to take communion right now. And then and we'll sing a song. That will be that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, thanks for this awesome time. God, thanks for everybody here. Father, thanks for filling up the clubhouse just with San Francisco and San Mateo right here.
Yeah.
Amen. But God, Father, we're so grateful just for the sacrifice that Jesus has made for our life. God, not just on a general level of forgiveness of sins, which is amazing, but God, that it's even more than that.
Wow.
God, that it's even a personal heart attitude that we're to have before you in our relationship with you, to know we have full assurance because our hearts are cleansed from a guilty conscience. Mm-hmm. And God, we're so grateful to have that and to be pure and holy before you. and to know that you've made us into the most holy place, God, that we're now your temple, that we're really a sanctuary, God, for your spirit in our own lives. And Father, that it's so incredible that we get to walk with you and live as new people because of your sacrifice for us. God, thanks for everything that this communion we're about to take represents. And God, we pray that it changes us, not just in our actions, but in our hearts. And we love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.